Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October 2nd, the first Monday in October. You would not know it's October by some of these temperatures that we're expecting this week. My goodness, 100 degrees before the week is over here in Tucson. So that little respite that we had where I said it was time to break out the hot chocolate about a week or so ago, well, forget it. Anyway, we are on AM 1030 KVOI coming to you live, of course, and we have our live worldwide broadcasting on the live stream at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com. Have all of our website, has all of the Buckmaster shows pretty much since we started in January 2011. And like the vast majority of Americans, I'm just sick about what happened in Las Vegas. I've got friends up there, media friends still, and I spent 5 years of my career working for NBC Radio there. And so this is, you know, it's a horrible situation. And as we're going to share here with John Munger and Vince Robigo in a moment about really, you had the sheriff up in Clark County, which is encompasses the Las Vegas area, saying that when he was asked, is this a terrorism incident? And he said no. Well, it's kind of early, I think, in the investigation, John and Vince, to say something like that.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think we don't know what this gentleman's wrong term, person's motivations were. He could have just been wacko. Probably was just wacko. Now, if he's trying to make some political or social point, and terrorize people for that purpose, that's the definition of terrorism. But just going nuts isn't terrorism. That's just murder.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I can't really fathom a situation where this isn't a form of terrorism, right, even if it's not for political, but right, it is instead for some sort of social point. He's trying to terrorize people.
But we don't know yet.
Correct. And, and it's too early to know exactly what the motive was. Was it political or was it instead a social point? But terrorizing civilians doesn't have to be against a government entity for terrorism to be called terrorism. And it's not too responsible. But certainly it's tragic, and my heart goes out to everybody who's been hurt and injured, and those who've lost loved ones. And this isn't the time, I think, or the place for us to have a political debate.
No,
we're not going to debate this.
So far, it's not a political event.
No, sure. But we can't ignore it. But I wanted both of you to weigh in. I mean,
But what I was going to add up to that is that I do think down the road we have to talk. Mm-hmm. In responsible terms and have either a show or maybe a community discussion about use or access to you know, weapons that can either be changed to be fully automatic or bought easily, without regulation where they are not supposed to be. And so there are, you know, that happens, and we have to have those discussions down the road at the right time, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, John and Vince. John Munger is, of course, one of our regulars, and so is Vince. John is a Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince Robigo, longtime Democrat Party activist. Vince also tested the water in 2010. As I often say, there must have been something in the water.
There was fluoride in the water that
both
John and
crazy.
I
both of you had decided this was the time to run. Vince ran as a Democrat for Arizona Attorney General, and Vince also heads up the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party.
No longer, Bill. Former councilman Steve Leal has taken over the helm of that, and he's going to help get that
I better
to be organized.
Write that in there. Hispanic caucus chair. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging systems, and hanging, well, in other words, he'll make a house call and do all the work for you. He's got all the specific tools that make sure it's up on the wall properly. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course they're on Facebook. It is a talk show, and we do welcome you to call us at 790-2040 if you would like to join in the conversation. My topic for today, gentlemen, is the tax reform. John, are we going to get some tax reform done?
Oh, boy, we need to. This economy has been growing at a dismal 1.8% all through the average, and no more than that. Through the Obama administration. Thank goodness we hit 3.1% for the second quarter and this year under President Trump. But to really supercharge this economy, we need to get this tax reform and tax cuts done. We don't know what the specific plan will be. We have only a general outline, but it'll accomplish a couple of things. Number one, we cannot continue to grow this economy at only 1.8% or 2%. The only way we can get out from under this debt that we have, $20 trillion and growing, is to grow our way out of it. If we don't have at least 3% growth, we cannot pay our debt. And moreover, that means that we probably, most of our government-paid pension plans are based upon projections of income around 3 or 4%. So if we're only growing at 2%, ultimately it's going to mean we can't pay our pensions. We have to grow this economy.
Vince, what do you say to that? Are we going to get something done, do you think, on tax reform? And do you hope so?
Well, let me just say this, okay. That number one, I don't think we're going to get it done when it is presented and kicked off in the same misleading fashion that the failed health care takeaway efforts went. And so when you look at what happened there is that these efforts were launched to try to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And there were numerous claims made by the Trump administration and his surrogates saying it's going to do this. And when all the doctors and all the hospitals and citizens started looking at it, they said that's not true. And people got up in arms because the claims weren't true. And so what has happened now, once again, is that Steve Mnuchin and the Trump administration are coming out saying this is purely the objective of cutting taxes for the middle class. But already, even the early nonpartisan reviews are saying that the suggested four or five items that they are trying to accomplish are simply not designed to help the middle class, but in fact help like the top one half of the top 1%.
Oh, that's just
huge
not
numbers.
True.
It is true.
No.
And how
no.
would you know? How would you know? Have you read it? You just told me they aren't
no.
even laid
well,
out yet.
That's the problem. That's the problem, Vince, with your numbers. There aren't enough specifics yet to be able to pick apart the plan. The problem
is, I disagree
is,
with that.
Well, the problem is that we don't know what groups are going to be in what tax categories, what income groups. There is also left on the table, there is possibly going to be a tax, actually a fourth rate of a tax potential increase for the top 1%. We don't know all those details yet. It is way premature to pan the program, because there aren't specific details. This is pure politics. We need to see all the details of the plan to be able to say who's getting what benefits. It simply isn't known yet. What is known is that we need to have a tax decrease or a decrease because we know that tax decreases generally provide an impetus towards growth. Now, all the Democratic projections will say, oh, you're going to grow the deficit by $2.5 trillion. But those same criticisms don't take into account at all the growth that might occur by virtue of these tax cuts. And we know that when we've had tax cuts in the past, generally speaking, you've had tremendous growth. For example, President Reagan in 1982 was doing his first tax cuts. And the New York Times and Paul Krugman and others said, oh, we can never get beyond 2% growth. And, oh, this will never happen. Well, lo and behold, in 1983, we had because of these tax cuts, we had a 4.5% income GDP growth. In 1984, 7.5% average GDP growth. That's like China. And okay. The next year, 4.5 again. The GDP growth continued well into the 90s.
Well, let's hear what Vince has to say, because he certainly wants to rebuttal, I think, something John said a little earlier, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. And the reality is John tries to say that this is the Democrats panning it. No, in fact, it's the Tax Policy Center, which is a moderate research group that came out and said, and which is not the Democrats or Democratic Party.
Yes, it is. It's a left-leaning.
Give me a break, okay? Yes. So you want to besmirch everything that just doesn't agree with you? They say
let Vince have
that 30% of these planned projects or cuts and redistributions would benefit the top 0.1%. They would be getting three times what the bottom 50% would get, which would be just 10%. So if you add that together, that's essentially 30% plus the bottom 50, which get 10%. That's 80%, but the biggest chunk goes to the richest. My point at the beginning was again that this is purportedly to help the middle class, and it doesn't. And we can talk about this after the break, because we have Arizona is ground zero as an example why the massive reductions in taxes do not produce the growth and revenue that he describes. And you can look at the last 2016 report from the W.P. Carey ASU Institute that shows that in Arizona, empirically, it does not support what he's saying with this alleged trickle-down economics.
John, you'll be up to the plate, John, right after we take the break. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodgen at moesgallery.com. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, the Old Glory Rally is coming to Tucson. We'll tell you what that's all about. Plus, former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean Dr. Ray Woosley hosts our monthly Your Meds segment on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our live streaming podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off is sponsored by our friend Mo of Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. Mo loves a spirited political debate, and that's what we try to deliver with our different teams of commentators. Vince Robigo seated to my left and John Munger to the right, and we're talking about tax reform. And John, you I promised that you would be able to respond to Vince, and we were talking about kind of the deficit and what this tax reform might mean to the deficit.
Well, yeah. Vince was talking about how unfair this program is and how the middle class don't benefit. Vince doesn't have any idea who will benefit because we haven't laid out exactly what the tax brackets are going to be, who's going to fall into what tax bracket, nor have we laid out whether there's going to be a fourth tax bracket for the high earners, which is actually going to increase their taxes. So it's way premature.
So you're saying Vince is really jumping the gun on
that? He's jumping the gun on that. Huh. Moreover, let me point this out. And people need to get these numbers straight. People may want to write this down. The top 1% of income earners pay 40% of the taxes in this country. Mm-hmm. The top income taxes. The top 5% pay 60%. Top 5% pay 60%. The top 10% pay 70% of the taxes. The top 25% of earners in this country pay 85% of the taxes. The bottom 50%, listen to this, the bottom 50%.
What do they pay?
2.7%. So what we have is a system where if you're going to cut taxes, of course, the people who pay taxes are going to benefit from some tax decreases because the people in the bottom 50% fundamentally aren't paying any taxes. Mm. So it's ridiculous to say that, oh, the people, you know, these rich people who are incidentally the ones paying most of the taxes are going to have some benefit. They are the ones that are the business people who are creating the jobs that employ people. That's the whole point of the plan.
Then why are they lying about it? That's my whole point, getting back to what I started off with. They come out and Mnuchin has said this. Trump has already said this also, that this is purely going to be for the middle class when it's not. And the analysts are looking at the cuts that are proposed, like changing the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20, changing the personal from 39 to 35. There are numbers that are specific that they can analyze, are analyzing, and it's showing these claims to be false. So when you have a president who claim who doesn't reveal his own taxes and says I won't benefit from it and we'll never know because he has kept those secret what he actually pays or doesn't pay, those are the kind of things they're going to doom this because the average American is going to see right through it. So when Trump owns numerous pass-through businesses and they're going to cut those taxes for pass-through businesses, and he says that he's not going to benefit, people are going to look at that very, very skeptically.
Well, Vince, you may think that's true, but here's the bottom line
real
answer.
Real quickly, and then
they're
to
going,
Richard waiting
they're
on
going
the phone.
To double the standard deduction. So what's going to happen is that everybody that's paying taxes, everybody is going to get a tax decrease, and fewer people at the bottom level of the people who are still paying taxes – fewer of those are going to pay any taxes at all.
All right. Let's go to Richard, who's been waiting very patiently. Hey, Richard, you're on the Face-Off.
Hey, you guys, great debate. Thanks. I would just say that, you know, some type of tax break might be in order, but, you know, you can't throw $55 billion in military spending and expect that our economy, that the deficit's going to go down. And you know, not only that, but we should go ahead and increase the Social Security payroll tax a little bit, Medicare a little bit. You know, do the responsible thing. Don't starve the beast. Cut. Really, we should be cutting defense spending, Bill and John. Yeah. You know, this is outrageous, the money. We're spread across this planet. We will go broke because of this. Let's quit spending so much money.
Well, okay. I disagree with you about military spending. I happen to think that military spending is critical to the security of this country. We are not able to project our military. We have a third of our aircraft. Obama left a third of our aircraft unflyable. We don't have the type of military that we need to have to face threats around the world like we have. And if we have tax cuts, as President Trump is suggesting, that is the only way to grow our way out of these deficits.
Disagree.
You may disagree.
But
these tax cuts are projected to raise in growth $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years.
And now your response to
Richard. Well, first of all, and I appreciate Richard's point, because the reality is you have to do things responsibly. And so when you look back at the last big tax cuts we had under George W. Bush in 2001, I think it was 2002, those led to tremendous, tremendous national debt. They did not pay for themselves, even though they were billed that they were going to pay for themselves and that also it was going to help grow the economy. It ultimately did not. Now, returning to my earlier point about revenues to make sure we don't starve the beast like Richard mentioned, we only have to look to Arizona, which has been on a tax-cutting mission since 1990. Now, last year, the business school, W.P. Carey Business School at ASU, not any liberal bastion by any means, published a report titled Tax Reduction on Arizona, Effects on Economic Growth. And they pointed out that this has been the trope and the argument that has been pushed that this will be the way to grow the economy, but that there are no empirical facts to support that claim. And here we are, 27 years of research, well, 26 because it came out last year, showing that claim does not hold water. So when you back up and you start looking at taxes, if we're going to do something responsible, the United States has one of the highest, you know, tax rates in the world. Very true. I agree with that. But at the same time, it has the highest in the world corporate avoidance of taxes. $188 billion, I'm not mistaken, annually by corporations that are not paying their fair share because they're using loopholes. When you want to talk about responsible taxes and taxation, you then also have to look at, Republicans always talk about let's not pick winners. Well, what about all of those subsidies and fuel subsidized economies that are subsidized by the federal government that are also not paying their fair share? So if we're going to do tax reform, there's not just one method, which is cut, therefore it's going to grow, because we know that has shown in Arizona doesn't work. We have to look at reducing corporate tax avoidance, which would put close the loopholes, in other words. Close the loopholes, get rid of those subsidies, look at responsible ways so that we
Increases. He's talking about tax increases.
Oh, there you go. See, you can't – when somebody's avoiding taxes, if you tell them to pay their fair share, he wants to call it a tax increase, when in reality they're just not paying their fair share. That's, those are the dues we
already
pay
have
to live
highest,
in a civilized society.
We already have the highest taxes in the world, corporate taxes.
Right.
What Vince is talking about is raising them some more. And the answer is not to
raise. They're not paying them, is what I'm saying.
Vince did acknowledge we do have the highest.
Rate is high, but they're not paying them, is what I'm saying, because they're avoiding them. So you could talk about the highest tax rate all day long till you're blue in the face. But if they're not paying those rates because they're using these loopholes, the monies aren't coming in as revenues.
Vince, you're not going to get any dispute from me at all that we ought to cut the subsidies.
And the loopholes.
And the loopholes, and the Trump administration is talking about cutting.
You're on board with cutting the loopholes,
too.
But
you've got to ultimately get your tax rates down so that people are incentivized to create jobs here. And that is not happening. And, you know, what Vince wants is more of the same.
Not
2%
true.
Growth.
Not
he
true.
Doesn't have a single plan. It's no. We can't do anything. And we need to keep the tax rates where they are. And
that's
we need
not what
to
I
just
said
have
at all.
Poor growth. And that's not going to work. It won't work for the country. It won't work for the people. And it won't work for the pension plans, which are based upon 3 and 4% growth. The pension plans will go broke unless we grow this economy. And Vince has no ideas. It's all no.
I got plenty of ideas. I gave you some. And look at what Deloitte & Touche asked 500 CEOs last year. What was most important? Guess what? Tax cuts were not at the top. Having a good education system, having good infrastructure.
So
those are at the top of
the
list
the
for
tax.
What CEOs in this country want.
So Vince wants
wrong,
to just
John.
Keep the taxes
talk
right
talk
where they are.
All right.
And just we'll muddle along at 1.8%.
John Munger and Vince Robigo, thank you, gentlemen. Hope you both have a great week.
Thank you, you too.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Thank you, Moe. You and your family since 1985, really, really serving the needs of folks here in town. Do a great job. Thank you. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this Monday in Tucson, Arizona. The Green Things folks do such a great job for all of our gardeners in Southern Arizona on 13 acres. Jan and Jack, the owners, have just done a beautiful job improving and enhancing that property at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And Jan and Jack, thank you for your support of our program by posting prominently on your website a link to buckmastershow.com so people can get all of our podcasts, which we have archived going back all the way to January of 2011. Once a month on this program, we are always honored to have one of our two dozen contributors to this program, and he's General John Wickham. General Wickham is our contributor on military and foreign affairs. He was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982 on the Korean Peninsula. General Wickham served really over four decades in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on our Buckmaster Show live line. And today, General Wickham is back in Washington, D.C. for a very, very important family occasion. General Wickham, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Bill, and thanks so much for allowing me to be able to do this back here in Washington for the promotion to captain of our granddaughter, and she's in the military police, finishing ROTC payback, and she's going off to physician's assistant school, joint services, and so she's got more duty to do. But wonderful experience to be back in the nation's capital and to be proud of America with all these troops and the beautiful view. Although the tragedy of Los Angeles, I mean,
Las Vegas, sure.
Las Vegas, yeah, terrible thing.
Horrible.
And of course, terrible thing. And
I was going to say,
it illustrates, Bill, and for your members, that America needs to do more to control weapons in our country. Australia, years ago, bought back millions of weapons and banished certain types of weapons from being owned. And as a result, the crime rate in Australia has dropped over 100% from doing that. And so if we were smart as Americans, legislatures, we should do something like that. But I don't see it. I mean, the National Rifle Association is so wrapped in arms with the GOP. I just don't see that happening. But we need to do it because this illustration in the West illustrates that the weapons are available and crazy people will get them. This man who did it apparently had just converted to Islam. That's possibly why he did it, but he probably did it because he lost his mental ability.
Yeah, well, we're still learning a lot more about this. Jim has called us. Jim Kelly would like to speak with General Wickham. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, General Wickham. Hey, two things happened this week. Kurdistan voted to be an independent state, and Catalonia has voted to become an independent state within Spain. And both central governments, Iraq and Spain, are saying that the votes are no good. How do you think this bumps up against what Donald Trump said, what President Trump said at the UN about supporting independent, responsible states?
Well, I think that we have to examine this very carefully. I've been to both places, and I realize that there's a nationalist spirit alive and well in various parts of the world in those two places. And I think the governments in Baghdad and also in Madrid have got to look very carefully at allowing this to happen. If the people have spoken so predominantly with their votes, then we need to recognize that and do something responsible. There's nothing wrong with creating a Kurdistan, although the Turks would go crazy over that because they had Kurds in Turkey that wanted to have their independence, but they could be part of a Kurdistan. And so if Spain breaks up a little bit by forming a separate state, so be it. Look what happened to Pakistan at the end of the first war with India. It broke into two countries. And so I think we've got to be very smart about this, and I'm a big supporter of recognizing the will of the people.
All right, General Wickham, we have another call for you right off the bat. This one is from Robert. Robert, you're with General Wickham. Go ahead.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, General. Just your thoughts. In the last 6 months, we've had four Navy ships run into, to their surprise, by other ships. The last incident, and soldiers are dying. The last incident was the John McCain, which is the most advanced ship in the world, and it couldn't spot an oil tanker coming at it at two knots. How could this possibly be happening?
All right.
A very good question, and to raise it again, the issue of technology, that we are not moving as rapidly to capitalize on technology the way we should. Look at with our aviation industry, the flights. We should have, years ago, put capability on aircraft, commercial aircraft, to spot other aircraft quickly and to avoid collisions in the air. We're not there yet. Congress has not authorized the funding to do it. Industry hasn't been able to come up with the money entirely, so we need a joint effort to do it. So you're exactly right. We need to do a better job in the military of capitalizing on the technology. And these ships and I've been on some of these ships that have technology, but it's still pretty old in many cases.
And you're saying we need to update, really all of the services need to get on board here into the 21st century with technology.
Amen, Bill. And one of the problems, you understand it in spades, that we've been at wars so long. We're doing things we should not be doing. My humble opinion, I don't think we should stay in Afghanistan and put more troops in there. 3,000 more troops is a peanut commitment. It's not going to change the war at all. So we spent $1 trillion already in Afghanistan, no results. And I think that we could leave that country and let them struggle themselves. One of George Shultz used to say, sometimes in foreign affairs, it's like a forest fire. You've got to let it burn itself out. And maybe we have to let Afghanistan burn itself out and find its own future, its own way. I don't think spending more lives than people is the way to do it. So I do think we've got to be smart about that. But that kind of money that we're spending, and we're going to spend billions of dollars on a wall with Mexico, which I think is crazy. There are ways of dealing with immigration that don't require that kind of expenditure. But it gets back to your point. We can use that money better. We need to improve our infrastructure in our country. We used to be ranked number one in the world in infrastructure, and now we're 28th or 29th ranked. because we have not invested. And who's at fault? Congress has failed to put the money into infrastructure, and so has our local legislatures not putting the money into infrastructure. We haven't raised the gasoline tax, federal gasoline tax, since 1992. So we're all at fault here, and we should do a better job of investing.
All right, this would be a natural time to take a break. With General John Wickham, 790-2040, the general would be happy to entertain your question. Perhaps he said something you disagree with. He can certainly take it. If you want to question anything he has said, or if you agree with him, that's fine too. Love to hear from you. We'll keep General Wickham on for another segment. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. Weekend or longer, if you've got the time, why not do it? 3-hour drive from Tucson. And it's going to be about 100 degrees here in Tucson this week. And it's 15 degrees, I can guarantee it, cooler over in Silver City because of their elevation of over a mile high. That'd be about 5,500 feet. So nice, cool mornings, warm days, and very nice evenings. So hike in the Gila Wilderness among the many things to do. The complete listing of great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico by going to southwestnewmexico.org. General Wickham is with us for his monthly visit to the program. We have so much to discuss with General Wickham, but we've also had quite a few calls that people would like to speak with the general. And David, you're on the phone now with General Wickham. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you said something about paying more gas taxes. I agree on that. But what you don't understand is, or if you do, there's more cars people driving. There's about 3-4 cars in garage. So it's not about raising the gasoline. It's probably using the money where it should go, on the streets.
Okay. All right.
Exactly, David. Yeah, I mentioned about the gas tax. That gas tax goes into maintaining the roads. And if we're going to complain about the roads and our breaking infrastructure, we need to pay for it. And the gas tax is part of it, but not enough. Mm-hmm. We need an infrastructure bill that goes through Congress. And I think the Trump administration is going to try to do that. But we need to do a better job. We've not paid enough attention to doing things like that at home.
All right. Good point. 790-2040, if you would like to speak with General Wickham. And, you know, the Ken Burns documentary on Vietnam is just really, it's being done so well. And I know certainly, General Wickham, after I think you served at least 2 tours, right, in Vietnam?
Yes, I spent almost 3 years.
Yeah, and certainly that is reviving some memories, particularly of your first tour, where you were actually given the last rites, and your base basically was overrun, and you didn't think you were going to make it, did you?
That's right, Bill. I was so badly wounded and lost so much blood, the medic said we can't save him. So I had the chaplain give me the last rites, but forever I've always been grateful to the good Lord that gave me another life to live and let me raise my family, to be proud of them with my beloved Angel Ann. And so you're right, Bill. I think the Vietnam series does raise anew, it should, and among Americans, what we can do. When I got out of Walter Reed, I was in Grand Central Station with my father. I was in uniform, obviously a wounded veteran. And a middle-aged woman, well-dressed, strode up to me and call me some of the foulest names that you can imagine.
Oh,
and
no.
Spit in my face.
No.
And other veterans who went through the same sort of a thing. So there is hatred in our country, and we're seeing that in our country today. And we, as a people, need to reestablish our values. And half of our marriages break in our country. Half of our children are born out of wedlock. That's contributing to the loss of values. We need to do a better job of strengthening families and strengthening the values in our society if we're going to do that. Another thing that I think the Vietnam series should remind Americans about, are we doing the right thing by spending $1 trillion in Afghanistan and dropping in 3,000 more troops, which is peanuts? I think it's wrongheaded. I think we need to, as I said earlier, let the fire burn itself out and not waste our money the way we have.
Well, I am so sorry that happened to you, General Wickham, spitting on a combat veteran just back from Vietnam. Let's go to Ray on the line, wants to talk about Afghanistan. Go ahead, Ray.
Hello, Ray.
Thank you for accepting my call. Basically, the comment I have is a friend of mine had gone to Afghanistan. His dad had fought in the Vietnam War as well. And basically what they both had to say about it was that we weren't supposed to be in there, but once we went in there, we basically broke it, and now we're responsible for at least trying to fix it. And what he was recommending was breaking it into different districts and letting each district basically be supported or not supported by the United States based on what they are doing for their people.
That's a good point, Ray. It's kind of what they, that's kind of what they call the balkanization, you know, splitting up the area, because it's each of these areas, General Wickham, as you know, are controlled by different warlords, correct?
That's right. That's exactly right. Ray raises a very good point. It's another way of solving the thing, but as Ray points out, it's a way that the Afghans have got to solve it themselves. And it's got to be a regional solution. We've got to get Pakistan and India much more involved, and China and Russia much more involved in solving that problem. We should not be paying all the bills. And we need to get Pakistan to stop being a sanctuary for the Taliban. The Taliban rearms and get resustenance from Pakistan. We've got to stop that, and I think we can work that in a political solution. But sending more advisors over there, 3,000 more, and spending another $1 trillion, to me, humble opinion, does not make a great deal of sense. We need to be much more mindful, and I think the Vietnam series, Ken Burns' wonderful series, should remind Americans that how we should run our foreign policy. Here is another illustration of foreign policy that's run amok. We have the North Korean situation, very, very dangerous. Unlike the Cold War, here is a country, North Korea, that's got 40 to 50 nuclear weapons. They can reach the United States, run by a dictatorship that doesn't give a darn about America, and could use those weapons accidentally or on purpose. And the only way to solve the problem is through negotiations. And apparently there have been some talks with North Korean officials that are going on now. And the president has said to Tillerson, the Secretary of State, stop those talks. Don't waste your time doing that. We're going to take care of North Korea another way. I don't know what the other way is. The other way is a nuclear war that could destroy South Korea and parts of America and Japan. So we've got to talk. We talked to the USSR back in the Cold War, and the USSR was abusive towards us, and yet we overlooked that and got the reductions from 50,000 nuclear weapons aimed at the United States to less than 1,000 during the Cold War. We can do similar things with North Korea if we're smart and courageous about it. But I don't think telling Tillerson to stop talking to the North Koreans is the way to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's goofy politics.
And we just had some indications this weekend that China may be willing to kind of back off their support of North Korea. I think that could potentially be huge.
Amen, Bill. And I've been to China a number of times, and I've spoken to them from the president on down. And one of the things that the Chinese tell us, they continue to tell us, North Korea is an ally. We're going to protect it. We don't want it to turn into another South Korea. But the North Koreans do not listen to advice, even from China. Here's an illustration. In North Korea, Chinese language is banished. There are no signs, no speaking of it. It's outlawed. In South Korea, Chinese is used. So there's a hatred in North Korea towards China, which complicates the influence that China can bring to bear. So there's only so much we can get from the Chinese, but unfortunately, the Chinese are trying to do as best as they can.
Yeah, because if China backed off in their support, that would be huge, because North Korea depends so much on China, right?
Exactly right, Bill, and for not only food, but energy. But there's also a lot of other things going on from other countries that are trading with North Korea. And we're trying to cut off that trade. And I think that's going to be effective if the sanctions work. But there are other countries that are doing it, not as much as China. So North Korea, I think the sanctions eventually, as it did with Iran, will work. and we'll force the North Koreans to begin to sit down and be willing to talk to us. But not when our president says to his Secretary of State, stop wasting your time with talking to the North Koreans. I think that's nutty.
All right.
Diplomacy.
General Wickham, thank you very much for your support of our program, and congratulations to your granddaughter as you're back in Washington, D.C., for her promotion to captain in the United States Army. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. It was an honor to do this, and her brother was here also. He is a captain, soon to be major, in the Medical Corps of the Army. So we got a lot of people serving our country.
The Wickham tradition continues in the United States Army. Thank you, sir. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw, so ably assisted by my fine engineer producer, Ray Allen. Together, they'll put together their hour. I try to listen every day from 4 to 5 to the mic check, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.